Well, hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Finner. Welcome back to Strong Tower Radio's Today program with the Garden Gal.
And I'm Teresa Williams with the Wexford Conservation District.
And we've been talking about setting up indoor growing, you know, starting your seeds. And now we're going to talk about organic. So, Teresa, what does organic mean?
Organic means, if you want the actual technical definition, it means it's an ecological production system that promotes and enhances biodiversity, biological cycles, and soil biological activity. And the primary goal of organic is to optimize the health and the productivity of all the interdependent things in our biological communities, our plants, our soil, our animals, and our people.
Okay, because you hear a lot about organic. In, you know, it's everywhere now, and it seems like it's the in thing. Okay, so now I'm asking you about, you know, is there organic shampoos or organic vitamins, or, you know, I know you can say organic meat or organic vegetables. So explain more exactly then what does that organic, I mean, you gave me the technical term, I guess, for what organic is. Yeah. But when we see this organic on all kinds of things, what does that mean?
Okay. I'm going to back up just a little bit. And first of all, there's something called the National Organic Program, and that sets standards for organic. And the United States Department of Agriculture is the certifying agency for organic. And to be organic, first of all, it's got to be something that grows. It's got to be a plant or an animal. It can be food, like the food that we eat. It could be fiber, like cotton that we wear. It could be flowers, even, that you give your sweetheart a bouquet of. But it's got to be something that grows. And there's some misinformation and some mislabeling out there. I've seen personal care products that have the label organic on them, but a personal care product cannot be organic certified by the USDA because they don't do anything with personal care products. And in most personal care products, they have ingredients in them that don't grow, that were never alive. Now, they could have, say they had jojoba oil, which is a plant. Now, that plant could be grown using organic methods, but the whole product, there is no certifying agency for organic personal care products, just for food, fiber, and flowers.
So if you see a product that says organic and it's not food, it's like you said, you know, a personal care product, a shampoo or a soap or something, and it says organic, it's because one of the ingredients maybe was something that was organic.
Perhaps.
But the rest of it's not.
Right. And, you know, with a personal care product, there's no standard, there's no national standard out there. So somebody could just stick that word on there and have no meaning at all. If you are concerned about you wanting something that's organic, what you need to look for is USDA organic, and it's a standard symbol. It's green and white. It's a circle, and that's the only certifying organic in the United States, is that USDA organic,
which only has to do with agriculture products, things
right.
that grow.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like, there are no certified organic personal care products.
Okay, or soaps, or, well, vitamins, because a lot of vitamins, though, have, well, herbs, and I don't know what all they got in them.
And, you know, that's where you can read the label closely, and it may say organic and then the name of the herb, and that's possible.
Okay, but the whole product isn't necessarily organic.
Correct, because it's probably going to have things in it that didn't grow.
Okay, because usually when you think of something, you see it's organic, you're thinking everything is probably organic that's in the product.
People could think that, absolutely.
Okay.
So you want to look at your labels really closely.
So, okay, if it says organic and it has the USDA
label,
that's what's organic.
Yes.
If it just says
yes.
organic, but you don't see the, because everything the USDA that they have said that's organic, their label will be there.
Correct, if it's certified organic. Now, there's
people
who, there are farmers who follow many of the organic standards who are not certified, and they could tell you how they grew their, you know, they could say that they grew their fruits or their vegetables in compliance with all those standards, but
it's not certified.
It's not certified. So talk, if it's a local person, talk to that person about what they're growing and what growing practices they're using. And there's some great growers out there who are growing wonderful produce who are not certified organic. So talk to them. But if you're buying something in the store off the shelf to be organic, it's got to be have that USDA seal on it.
Okay. All right. So it would be to a farmer's benefit, though, to be certified, wouldn't it?
For marketing purposes, yeah. There is a fair bit of paperwork, and there is cost to being certified organic. So it's there are some hoops for that farmer to jump through, but it is a benefit for a lot of them.
Okay. Well, because I know, you know, my family, my husband and my son, they're farmers, and some of the things they're doing are organic. And mm-hmm. I do know, like, for a field, it takes 3 years of for that to become organic, it cannot what?
Okay. You're talking about there's a 3-year transition period. If a farmer was not using organic practices and wants to become certified organic, they have to, for 3 years, follow organic practices, growing practices, before they can become certified. And that's because the organic standard says you want to be sure that any potential chemical inputs have gone from that system first, because some of the pesticides and chemical fertilizers that are used can persist for a while in the soil. And that's the reason why there's that 3-year transition period. And the organic growing practices are about things to do and things to not do. And some of the not do's are don't use chemical fertilizers, don't use chemical herbicide, no chemical pesticides, and genetically modified seed or GMOs are not allowed in certified organic production.
So, yeah, you see when it comes to seeds, you've got GMO, and we hear about, oh, that's terrible, GMO. Because the genetically modified is, why is it different than from what was an organic seed?
Sure. I could talk about the two most common genetically modified traits that we have out there. And I want to say the district isn't either pro or against. I'm just explaining what
right.
does it mean.
Yeah.
The two most common traits for genetically modified crops are to be resistant to the chemical glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup. So what that means is that if a farmer were to plant genetically modified, let's say corn seed, for instance, for weed control, the farmer could spray the young corn with Roundup and the corn wouldn't die, but all the weeds would. So that's one very common genetically modified trait. The other one is also common in corn, and it's to deal with insect pests such as the corn rootworm. And what they do there is they insert a gene of a bacteria called Bacillus thuringiensis into the DNA of that corn seed. And that means it's a naturally occurring bacteria that is an insecticide against basically small worms. And if a corn rootworm were to eat a portion of that plant, the corn rootworm would die and not damage the corn plant. And those are the two most common genetically modified traits in agriculture right now.
Which helps then a yield to be better if it's not getting...
Well, you know, the farmer doesn't have to spray apply pesticides for corn rootworm, for instance, if the farmer was using BT corn is what they often call it.
Okay. So if you're going to be organic...
You can't use that.
Right. Yeah. You can't use that. Okay. So what do you do for pesticides?
You have to have a whole management system. It's one of the things about growing organic is the management is more complicated. And if an organic corn grower says, what do I do about corn rootworm? They're probably going to do more crop rotation. If you are growing corn after corn after corn crop on the same ground, same every year, that's when you set yourself up to have more challenges with pests, pressure, insects, and diseases, both. So you rotate crops a lot. There are some biological insecticides that you can use, things that are certified for use in organic agriculture, but they're based on some kind of either a bacteria or another plant or another insect. So there's options for an organic grower, but there's more management involved.
So when it comes to corn, and, you know, I mean, I was a city girl, so I didn't know the difference because my husband grew corn. I'm thinking, when I think you grow corn, I'm thinking sweet corn, you know?
Okay.
And I mean, I did not realize, maybe most of you people out there might know this, but a lot of corn that's grown, like for corn flakes and corn meal and, you know, a lot of the corn, it's considered a field corn, not sweet corn that we eat.
Yeah, the most corn in our country is field corn meant to be eaten by livestock,
mm-hmm.
To feed beef animals or to maybe pigs. It's called field corn, and the vast majority of our corn is raised to feed livestock. There's also corn for human consumption as things like cornflakes or mm-hmm. popcorn. And then there's also sweet corn, which, again, is for people. But those are the three major types of corn that we grow.
Right, okay.
And by far away, field corn is the biggest.
Right, well, that's, yeah, you're feeding a lot of cows.
Yeah.
So a lot of them eat corn. To be organic, if you're a gardener, you're probably popcorn or sweet corn. Gardeners are not growing the field corn.
No, rarely. I've never met a gardener who wanted to grow field corn.
And then I know there's lots of varieties. I mean, there's lots of varieties of every kind of seed you want to plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I'd like to say another thing about that is a gardener does not have to worry about accidentally getting GMO seed because they're not available to gardeners. They're only available to commercial growers who sign. There are documents that have to be signed to say basically you won't reproduce the seed. So you're not going to accidentally buy GMO seed. It just isn't going to happen.
Okay. So we're using fertilizers and pesticides that are allowed, which you talked about.
Okay, yeah. And for a fertility program for an organic gardener or organic farmer, incorporates things like manure or compost or mulches from hay. Those things can all help provide nitrogen. There's also rock powders for some of our mineral elements.
Rock powders?
Yeah, like granite dust is used. There's one called azomite, which is... In Utah, there's old seabed floor that is mined, and it has lots of micronutrients in it. Kelp is used by some people, fish meal, blood meal, feather meal, green sand sometimes for potassium. So there's lots of options out there to make sure your plants have the nutrients that they need available to them. But they're different than a chemical fertilizer.
Okay, now, and pesticides, so that we're kind of fertilizers, good for the soil and to help mm-hmm. the plant. Mm-hmm. Now, pesticides is because of these things that are going to eat your plant and ruin it. So, and pesticides also for weed control?
For organic weed control, some people have used 10% vinegar, which is much stronger than your household vinegar. So I just want to say right now, household vinegar isn't going to work. There are flame weeders out there. Flame weeders that can go on the back of tractors, and basically it singes weeds when they're tiny. So they can do that. Tillage, you know, good old-fashioned hoe or a rotary hoe on a tractor can control weeds. But organic farmers usually don't spray for weeds. They make use of other methods.
Okay, so now this vinegar... So what kind of vinegar is it, and where do you get it?
It's agricultural grade, and you have to get it through some kind of farm supply network. I've not seen it on the shelf in a local store.
Okay.
It's pretty. People generally don't use it. They usually do the flame or the tillage. It's rare that anybody would use the vinegar.
Okay. All right. So we're talking about organic. We've been talking about, you know, plants and everything. But what about animals? And, you know, because like you've got organic beef. Organic milk.
Mm-hmm. Sure. For an animal product to be certified organic, the animal's feed has to be organic, like organic hay or organic corn, depending on what that animal would eat. So, for most animals, chickens and cows, I'm thinking of, there's also a standard, part of the organic standard is they have to have access to the out-of-doors. And that frankly has been a little bit controversial because for chickens, for example, access to the outdoors does not mean that they're raised on pasture. There may just be a small area that they get to go outdoors in. So if you want pasture-raised chickens or eggs, you have to look for that because it can be organic without necessarily being pasture-based. Same with cows. They have to have access to the outside, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're on pasture. It may, but not necessarily.
So if you're looking at the store, you want to buy some organic eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Does it also, then, I mean, you can say organic.
Right.
But then pasture is another, is added?
Yeah. That's another step up to say that they're organic.
So how would that read?
If it just says organic, it's usually safe to assume it's not pasture raised. If it's organic and pasture raised, then there's both.
So it might say organically and pasture raised.
Yeah, you'd look for both terms.
Okay. So what about buying meat then? How do you know? I mean, does it say also organic and pasture?
Or grass-fed is the correct term you see most often on beef, is grass-fed as opposed to grain-fed. But organic, you can produce organic beef through more what they call conventional methods. It doesn't necessarily, just because it's organic doesn't mean it's pasture-based or grass-based. And if you can talk, you know, in a grocery store, you can't talk to the farmer. But if you want to find a beef that's raised on pasture, you know, we're up here in northern Michigan, and there are a lot of local beef farmers. And you can talk to a local farmer and say, I'm looking for beef that's been raised this way or that way. And you can find a farmer. I know, at least in our area, you can find many farmers who will either sell directly or sell to a local processor, and you can find out more about how they've produced their product.
So what's the difference between grass-fed and grain-fed? And they both can be organic.
Yeah. It has to do with what they eat. Sometimes people prefer grain-fed because a lot of people think that there's better marbling in the meat if it's grain-fed and it's more
fat.
Tender. Yeah, where some people prefer the grass-fed because a lot of times that produces a leaner meat. And, you know, I should be asking you this. You're married to the beef farmer.
Yeah, remember, and I think I've said this in the past, just because I'm married to a farmer, I'm not a farmer wife. I'm the city girl, and so I wasn't raised on a farm, and even though we have a farm doesn't mean I still know a lot, you know. And I know that our son is going, you know, to some, you know, organic, the chickens and some beef and stuff. I know that he's doing that. Well, and one of the reasons is because everybody, it's healthier, you know, not this GMO and, you know, that's, I mean, there's a big, controversy, I guess, might be a good thing to say. And so people are thinking organic is healthier. And I'm not going to say it is or it isn't. It's, I don't know. Has that been proved?
No, it hasn't. But one thing that they have done is they've looked at the nutrient content of a lot of vegetables now versus about 50 years ago. And they've found for a lot of the micronutrients, the nutrient levels aren't as high. And one of the possible reasons for that is if in a production system the only nutrients that you're replacing are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, the big three, perhaps your soil has been depleted of those micronutrients. In an organic system, there's a lot of emphasis on keeping that soil healthy and keeping that soil balanced. So it's possible if you compared, say, carrots grown on a soil that never got those micronutrients added supplementally to a soil that did, you may find a nutritional difference between the two.
Okay. All right. Let's just touch on things that are grown hydroponically, because you hear a lot about that.
Yeah. And hydroponically means that they're grown in water. They're not grown in soil.
And how do they do that?
Well, they have nutrients in solution in water, and it's I think the water is aerated a bit because roots do need some oxygen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're grown in a greenhouse, and you can produce a lot of, like, lettuce is particularly adapted to this. And there are growers who grow crops for restaurants hydroponically, and the restaurants really like it because there's never any soil particles that they have to wash off the lettuce.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Yeah. And there's been a controversy right now because the National Organic Program just changed its rules to allow hydroponic crops to be certified organic. And there's some people who believe strongly that if it's organic, it should be grown in the soil, and other people who say, no, it doesn't have to be. It just needs to have inputs that are not chemical-based.
Well, and when you describe what organic means, it's growing.
Yes, it is growing.
So I can see where maybe it doesn't have to be growing in soil.
You know, there's both sides to that argument. So.
Yeah. Well, there always is usually two sides to everything. Okay, well, it's time for us to take a quick break, but stay tuned because we're going to come back and talk about maple syrup.